you know by now that he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what we would ever ask or imagine if we would just trust in him with all of our heart. Proverbs tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and to lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct our paths. Certainly, we thank God for all of his blessings upon us on this day. You made it through the snow. You made it through the ice. And you've arrived at the household of faith. Now, I know some others chose to stay away on today, but you and I are here. And I think that we owe God something by our presence. Amen. 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 He's proven himself to us over and over again. Amen. Certainly, we thank God for our worship leader. We thank God for our ministry of music that set the atmosphere and our ushers and all of you, the saints of God, who have come together today to lift up the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I know some don't like me to do it, but I have to sing this, just a little bit of this on today. Amen. I am going to trust in every time I sing that song, I think about my father. That was his favorite song. He'd say, I'm going to stay on. God, we walk by faith and not by sight. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you again for this privilege of being able to come, gathered in your holy house, your tabernacle, the place where your presence continually resides, and you desire to abide in the praises of your people. God, we thank you that in this house, the place where your spirit dwells, we thank you, God, that your word declares that where your spirit is, there's liberty. Liberty to worship, liberty to praise, liberty to be liberated and delivered from our illness and our sin. We thank you, Father, that you choose to magnify yourself in our midst. We thank you, God, that you reveal yourself stuff. We thank you, God, that you show up and you show out in our midst. We thank you, God, that whatever we need, it can be met in the house of faith. We declare, God, it is with expectation. Even right now, we've come through our brokenness. We've come through our pain, come through our sickness, and even come with our sin. We come, God, coming before you who are holy and righteous. Oh, God, we thank you that you've not turned away from us, but you invite us into your presence. Clean us up now by the washing of your word. Restore the joy of our salvation. Replenish our hearts' desire to please you in all that we are. God, we thank you for this precious privilege it is to come together with the saints of God on today. We don't take it lightly that we're part of the number that you woke up this morning. We don't take it lightly that you allowed us a good portion of our health and strength. We don't take it lightly, God, that you allowed us into this place once more and again. Now fill us with your power. Fill us with your spirit, God. Use this vessel of clay you've ordained for this moment to extract out of it all that you see fit, God. Use it up for your glory and for the edification of this body. These things we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 13. Look forward to sharing this all week with the body of Christ. I pray that God would bless you as you've come today to hear from heaven. Psalm 13, verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Can we read verse 6 together just before you're seated? I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. All he's saying is that God has been good to me. Amen. Amen. If you know that God has been good to you, can you just tell your neighbor, God's been good? Amen. Sometimes it's as simple as that, as just being able to acknowledge that God has been good. Amen. Amen. I pray that as you pray with us on today, that as God will speak to this household of faith, I want to talk from this particular thought in this season in the life of many who are here. When God seems to have forgotten me, when God seems to have forgotten me, I want to go back and I want to read verses 1 and 2 again. David, the psalmist, says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted above me? When God seems to have forgotten me. My brothers and sisters, all of us in this room have observed or experienced times in our life where we've seen something so tragic, something so heartbreaking, something so tumultuous that you looked at it and said, there's no way that God is in that. There's no way that God could be working, as Romans 8:28 tells us, that we know that all things are working for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. And you look at that situation and you make the determination that because of the level of pain that's incorporated within what you are observing, you say there's no way that God could be in that. Or you make the declaration or the assumption that if God was present in that situation, then God would have certainly, because we've always heard he's good, he's merciful, he's kind, he's just, he's loving, and all of those things. So therefore, God would have ultimately had to step in and snatch that individual out of that circumstance. Surely we would have believed that God would have had the power to change that circumstance and make things better. The reason why we've come to this conclusion in our psyche and in our understanding about God is because there are three aspects of our faith in God, relative to our understanding of God in his theology, that we build and believe ourselves concerning him. Basic theology gives us three principles of God's dealing with his creation. First of all, we see God as creator. That means that everything that you see around you, even all of us in this room, God created us. And not only is God creator, number two, we see God as the one who is interested in the lives of those that he has created. Amen. He created and he intervenes in his creation. But not only is his intervention just on a level of where God steps in and does things in an abstract way, but God is personal in his intervention, in that he reaches in, and as God intervenes in history, he reaches in and touches you and you and you and my life on an individual basis. So we see in our theology God is creator. That means that he created everything, and everything is because God spoke and it was. Not only does God create it, he didn't leave it after he started it. He reaches into it on various occasions. And when God reaches in it, he does not just reach in blindly, but he reaches in purpose to have interaction and personal relationship with what he created. So our theology is built upon the principles that God cares about what we are going through. He cares about us. And it's interesting that even in this corporation of theology and our understanding, we see that God is the one who transcends the world, which means that he exists outside of its limits. He goes beyond its limits, and yet his presence is imminent inside of. God is existing and God is operational. God has a will and God has a plan inside of his creation. God does not just throw it out there and see what happens, but God is interested and God is intervening throughout the whole way. He cares about what's taking place. As I was looking at this, I saw this statement by Dr. A.W. Tozier, what he writes in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy One. He says this, he says, God is said to be absolutely free because no one and no thing can hinder him or compel him or stop him. In other words, he says that what God is able to do, he's able to do as he pleases, wherever he pleases, and forever in that situation of what he's done. God is able to do what he wants, how he wants. Now, our theology concerning him is sometimes upset on that principle alone. Because God is sovereign, that means that he does things that we don't always understand. That means that God does things sometimes that we don't always agree with. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. That means that there are sometimes God does things as he moves and operates in his freedom, in the latitude of his freedom, that go against our theology of him. That's why people can get frustrated and say, I don't understand why God is allowing me the faithful church member, the one who paid my tithes, visit the sick and go to visit the poor. And I've done all of those things, and God allowed me to get sick. If he were going to pick anybody, I would have chosen so-and-so. But he chose me. Even as we are in the context of this everywhereness of God, he is present everywhere and absent nowhere. It's also important that God in his sovereignty does not do the same thing, the same way, at the same time as he's done it anywhere else, at any other time, and in any other place. In other words, you have to understand that even as others have their experience, God has a new experience with you that's unique and different from anybody else. Because ultimately, he has a purpose and a plan that he's trying to draw out of us. Regardless of our circumstances, the end result is conforming us to the image of his son Jesus. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that one of the greatest ways we are conformed is through the fellowship of suffering. That thing we'd rather get around and go beyond. He says it is through that many times that you resemble Christ to the world. Chooses. I don't want you to stretch your mind and your imagination. When God has this kind of latitude and freedom to move, it sometimes will leave us in the middle of pain. It'll leave us in the middle of our circumstance. It'll leave us feeling that there is an absenteeism of divine providence. In other words, you'll feel that you're going through things and God is nowhere to be found. Now, I didn't come today to talk to the sedity and those who stuck up who feel that you're holier than holy. I come to talk to the real folk who don't mind admitting that there are some times in life where I don't understand and I feel that God has left me, God has abandoned me. And I say like Jesus on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm at my lowest, I'm broken, I'm hurting, I'm sick, I'm wounded, I've been defeated, I've had enemies come all around me. And why is it that it's now? Are there any real folk in here? That when you were depending upon, when you couldn't depend on anybody else, like David in this text, David in Psalm 12, he says that the faithful and the committed men have gone away from me and abandoned me. And the process of Psalm 13 is after they left, now it appears God left. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life that it appears, it bothered me when folk left my side. But it's an hurting feeling that when you go from people who have abandoned you to feeling that there's an absenteeism of divine providence. In other words, it says that God himself has ceased operation of covering my life. Uncovered. Feel, hey, feel the absence of a caring and concerned father who has my best interests in mind, who's working things out for my good. The word tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us, but life will leave you at some point wondering if that's really true. The word tells us that he is with us to the end of time, but sometimes life will cause you to not be able to see how he's there with you today and tomorrow. The word tells us he's a very present help in the time of trouble, but storms in your life will leave you feeling that you don't have an umbrella or a place of shelter. Have I got any witnesses in here? The word tells us that he, the Lord, heals us from our sickness and our infirmity, but your situation will tell you that this cancer is taking your life. The life begins to deal with us. And our theology gets convoluted and our understanding of God gets discombobulated. As we go through trial and tribulation, we lose lose our way in our understanding that even when we cannot see God, I thank God that I can still feel Him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I thank God that when I could not visibly trace His steps in my life, I could feel His power as it drew near to me. David understood this. And then he pens this Psalm 13 at a time when his life was a mess. And sometimes life can get messy. Sometimes life can get tedious and get hard. Matter of fact, let me just say it this way. Life is hard. Let's just put it there. There's nothing easy about what you go through. And if you go through it by yourself, can you imagine as you've gone through things in your life, having to bury loved ones, having to lose jobs, lose relationships, having to say goodbye to those that you care about, having to wish those things back that you've lost and gone through that, and you had God in your life. Can you imagine those in the world who are going through the same stuff you went through, who are losing their mind because there's no presence of the Spirit there? Maybe this doesn't reach anybody further than the pulpit, but that's all right. I'll take it. I'll take it today. I'll take it, and I'll thank God for it, because David writes this. He didn't write this song. He writes a song when life was messy. A lot of times, a lot of us would say, Lord, when you bring me out, I'll reflect back and then write the song. But I like David because he understood that his breaking through was in his praise. Writes a song in the middle of his pain. And in this psalm, he helps us to understand the process of what happens when you feel that God has forgotten about you. First thing he says in his first is, verse 1, he says that he feels cut off from the Lord's countenance. Verse 1, he says, how long will you forget me? Oh Lord, will it be forever? Is this the way things are going to be forever from now until it's over? How long will you hide your face from me? He has these questions that he feels that he's been cast out of the Lord's presence. David says when he sins with Bathsheba, he says in his penitent psalm, Psalm 51, he says, cast me not away from thy presence. We don't often really understand the blessing it is that even after sin, God invites us into his presence. As life is messy, we have to also admit that sometimes life is not only messy, we have gotten messy in life. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. And even in spite of that, David says that life is messy. I'm messy at times, but yet, God, I still desire to be in your presence. Now that runs counter to our great foreparent Adam, because when Adam sinned, he ran from God's presence. He didn't understand that he needed to stay in God's presence, because God, even as he had created him, didn't want to throw him away. Didn't want to get rid of him. Didn't want to dispel him. He did have to displace him, but he would never disown him. You need to understand that when you are messy and you're tied up in some mess, there are some moments where God will have to displace you. But he will never disown you. You're still his child, still his children, still his possession, and still part of the promise. And so David here understood that even as he had sinned and messed up before the Lord, and even as enemies were on his trail, he still needed to be in the presence of the Lord. That's why it's dangerous for us when life gets messy to leave the household of faith. See, you think you're running away from the preacher. You're thinking that you're escaping hearing something that's going to cause your toes to hurt. But what you're missing, because the enemy is a deceiver, you're really missing the aspect of your life that brings cleansing back in. That's why David says he's missing God's presence. He says that you would always have a room for me before you. He says he feels that the Father has turned his face from him. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, 26, the Bible says there that there's a prayer there that's prayed that the Lord would lift up his countenance toward his people. The reason why it's important, we may not do this now because we communicate through Facebook and text messages, but there was a day that when you had someone's attention, they would look towards you to acknowledge your presence, and then they would hear your requests. So what David is saying, that I understand that when I have your face, I also have your favor. Y'all missed that. If I can get God to look in my direction, he's going to share something of his goodness by grace toward me. The problem with a whole lot of us is we want something from God's hand, but we don't want anything from his heart. We're looking for a handout from him, but you can't get anything from him really until you have his face turned in your direction. That's what's significant, because when Jesus is on the cross, the Bible says he looked away from him so that he could look at us. He looked away from his son who had no sin and saw us who had all the sin and traded places on the cross that we might become his righteousness. He looks away from him to look at us that he might favor us. And David says, I need your face because I need your favor. He says, I feel that I don't have either right now. I don't have either in my life right now. How often is it when trouble comes that we're left wondering, what happened to God watching out for me? Where did you go, God? You were supposed to be keeping my back. And I look around and I can't find you anywhere. And grandma and them used to say to us, don't ever question God. But I stand to tell you today that if you have questions, there's no better place than to go to God. If you have issues about what God is doing in your life, now understand he may answer you in some ways you didn't anticipate. But you can ask. David says, I'm going to ask because I need to know where God is when the chips are down. They own my track trying to destroy me, and I need to know that God is there. We wonder where God is in our times of trouble. But we're in this process of feeling that God has forgotten of us. Not only do we feel cut off from his countenance, but secondly, we also feel that we're constantly in combat. Verse 2 says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Notice that the moment that you feel out of sight, out of his sight, you get into your feelings. You ever heard folks who say, you're making me feel some type of way? I don't really know what all that means. But I just would have to assume, because of the context that is presented in you, you're making me feel bad. You're upsetting me, causing me more pain than what I already feel. And when you feel that you're out of God's sight, isn't it funny that you are also getting into your feelings? I say to you that it's a dangerous thing to get out of his sight and to get into your feelings. It's a dangerous thing because when you get into your feelings, you begin to say what you feel. And when you speak in the atmosphere what you feel about yourself, the enemy is listening, and he takes what you say and begins to divulge and destroy the purpose and plans of God in your life. You've got to be careful about always trying to get in touch with your feelings, because your feelings can get you to saying some stuff that's out of the will of God. Probably with a lot of church folks is that we're always in our feelings. Never in the word. Never in the spirit. but always in our feelings. And in your feelings, you'll always find an excuse, a reason, and some alibi for why you're not doing what God says. He says, I get in my feelings. I take counsel from myself. It's a dangerous thing to be your own counselor without the Holy Spirit. Because you will make assumptions and make decisions that will move you further than where you need to be. David says, how long will I take counsel? How long will I wrestle within myself in my thoughts about what's taking place? Yeah. Warring in my spirit in a place of depression and despair overtaking my life. A war in that place that the enemy is after my mind to get me to think according to what's taking place in my life. To the place to where sorrow fills my heart daily. In other words, it never lets up. It's continual and perpetual. There are feelings of sorrow and guilt and shame and pain in my heart daily. Drowning in this miserable place. Never a break, never any relief from the feelings in my own heart about the sorrow that's taking place. David says, how long shall I be in this place? How long shall my enemy have the advantage position over me? How long shall they stand over me in triumph? Anybody ever been there? That there you're constantly in combat in yourself and externally with others. External forces that are trying to rob you of the grace of God in your life. David says that we feel cut off from God's countenance and we also are in constant combat. But when you find yourself in that place, I want to encourage you with this. To cry out for God's consideration. He says in verse 3, he says, consider and hear me, O Lord. My God, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I have prevailed against them, and those that are troubling me rejoice when I am moved. David cries out, even from this place of distress and feeling of isolation and abandonment. Do you know who to call to come to you when you don't even know where you are located? Do you know who to call to come to your assistance when you can't even find on a spiritual GPS where you are? You're so lost in the wilderness, you're so hurt in your pain, you can't call anybody to your specific address. All you can do is send out a help call. David says, just give light to my eyes, or else I die. I pondered this because, and I thought about it in my own life, and I'm sure you thought about it in yours, there are moments where you're in a place where you no longer see dreams. You no longer have vision. You no longer see yourself coming out of situations. You see yourself isolated in the dark and lonely forever in that circumstance. David says, I need you to light my, I need you to give me your perspective. I need you to give me some hope in what I'm going through. I need you to consider. I need you to hear. Take note. And even as I feel I'm out of your sight, I need you to hear my voice. I need you to look in my direction favorably and to hear my cry. If you, Lord, don't hear me, I will die in my situation. I'm going to meet my demise in this situation. If you don't hear me, my enemies will prevail against me, and they will have reason to rejoice because I've fallen. David says, cry out to the Lord. There's something at stake when we don't cry. When we don't cry out to the Lord. We suggest to God, wherever we feel he may be at the present time, that he is not able or willing to come to our rescue. The fact that you don't cry says something about our trust in him. The fact that we don't cry to him says something about our expectation from him. I encourage you, saints of God, that whatever you find yourself in, don't forget to cry out to the Lord. The reason why we cry out, we cry for his compassion. But then fourthly, we see in verse 5 that he says, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. He says that we cry out because the covenant with God will bring comfort ultimately. Our covenant with God, as we see in verse 5, is that we have put our trust in him. Even as he talks about things that have taken place in his life, it leaves us with this. In verse 5, he says, this interjection, but. That but says that that's the sad song all the way up until that point. But at that point in the text, at that point in the song, he says, I know what I'm seeing and I know what I'm feeling, but I also know what I know. And that's the place you got to get to in your experience when you feel that God has forgotten about you. You got to move past what you see. You got to look past what you feel. And you got to just know what you know from God's promise. He says, I know in whom I have believed. I know in whom I have put my trust. And I believe and I've already experienced God's mercy in my life. I looked at that word mercy. Mercy is nothing more than God's unfailing love toward us. It is the extension of God's compassion toward us that fits us. Whatever situation may arise, it meets the need of what we're going through. David says to us that this covenant relationship with God will bring us to a place of peace in our circumstance. That's the place where people all around you who are looking at you as you're in it and wondering how you're in your right mind. Wondering how you're still able to wave your hand and give God some praise. Wondering why you still show up at church Sunday after Sunday. You just tell them it's because his mercy is brand new. And it fails not. Jeremiah says it is because of his mercy, his unfailing love toward us that we are not consumed. Listen, there are some things in your life that would devour you and wipe you out. But thanks be to God that his mercy is brand new. Says, I've trusted in you in the past. And I presently wait with expectation. It's in the text he says that rather than have myself a pity party, I'm determined that my heart shall rejoice in the Lord's salvation. Have I got any witnesses in here? Regardless of what happens to you in your life, you're going to rejoice in the Lord's salvation. Can I tell you what that'll do for you? It'll bring you joy when you're down. And it'll give you hope, but there is no hope. And when you are resting in the Lord, he will take care of you. David says that I will rejoice in the Lord. And I will, yes, Lord, my heart leaps and overjoys in the Lord. And I've learned to take pleasure in the Lord, and my delight is in him. Have I got a witness in here? I thank God today that when I look at my whole experience, I thank God that those things I put in the Lord's hand cannot be taken away. Have I got a witness here? I cannot be moved from my place of security. I cannot be unreserved or no longer preserved. But even as this situation may cause me to go through this all the days of my life, I thank God that it is not my final condition. Yeah, Lord, for the Lord
Lord will ultimately rescue me. Yeah, Lord, I'm blessed because he will show up. Anybody glad about it today? Well, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, yeah, Lord, have I got a witness? I thank God today that when we are in trouble, I read in Psalms 34, verse number 15, the word says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Yeah, Lord. Then I kept reading. The righteous cry out in verse 17, and the Lord hears them and delivers them out of all their troubles. I kept on reading down to verse 19. It said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver them from them all. So whatever you're going through, you may feel forgotten, but can I tell you, God never forgets about his children. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel good today, because this week has been a trying week in my own experience, but I thank God he cares for me. And David says that after you feel cut off from his countenance and you constantly in combat and you've cried out for his consideration, and then you realize his covenant will bring covenant. Last but not least, I want to encourage you to make your way to the last verse and close with a celebration. David said, my heart believes in the Lord, but with my lips I'm going to praise his name. That sounds like salvation to me. For Paul says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It takes your heart, but don't forget your mouth. Look at your neighbor and say, you may believe in him in your heart, but you gotta use your mouth to praise him for all he's done for you. Shout yes, yes, ooh, yes, glory to the God. I thank God in this text, he tells us, I will sing. I'm not waiting on you. I'll sing unto the Lord for all he's done for me. David said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What will I give him for all he's done? Can I tell you? Can I make a suggestion? You ought to stand on your feet and open your mouth and give him the praise. Give him the praise. Shout glory. We're not just praising him for no reason. David says that there's some evidence here that God has dealt bountifully with me. God has blessed me over and 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 over. He keeps on doing great things in my life. So much. I know I don't deserve it. I unearn it. But I show to him. Anybody glad the Lord is on your side? Yes, yes, yes. I thank God he blesses us over and over again, over and over again, over and over again, over and over again. Yes. consider the goodness of Jesus in your life. You need to understand, if you have faith, then you have peace. And if you got peace, then you got joy. And if you got joy, you ought to have a song. Let's repeat the process. If you have faith, you ought to have peace. And if you've got peace, he'll give you joy. And if you got joy, you ought to have a song. Your neighbor ought to hear you every now and then, just humming a song. Yes, he's good. Yes, yes, yes. Walter Hawkins had a song he wrote. He said, God is standing by. He said, everywhere I go, there is trouble. And everywhere I go, there's strife. Everywhere I go, there's something that's worrying me. But God is standing by. Yes! Aren't you glad today? God is standing by. And he cares. He cares. He cares what you're going through. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Whatever it is, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Just a little while longer. Hold on and keep the faith. He will deliver on time, yes. Say yes. 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 For Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Anybody can just wave your hand. I thank God for Jesus. He's sweet. I know, yeah. In the midnight hours, he rocks me to sleep. He holds my hand. He walks with me and tells me that I am his own. Oh, the joy. Oh, the joy. Oh, the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He's my joy in the midnight hour. Yes! I apologize. When I think about him, he didn't leave me in my trouble. Anybody glad? He didn't leave you in your midnight hour. He didn't leave you when you were sick. He didn't leave you when you lost your loved one. But he stayed right there. He stayed right there. He stayed right there. You ought to praise him just for what he's done. Shout glory! You may not understand what's going on, but somebody's just taking a trip down memory lane and reminding themselves that it was Jesus who stood by them, who carried them through the midnight hour. They're just celebrating what he's done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's able. He's able. Anybody know he's able? Some situation, you're in the middle of some sickness, you need to understand that your deliverance, your power is tied into your praise. You able to reach to him, God, with your praise to him. God in turn will meet every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now I want to ask you to do this. If you're here and you have need of something from the Lord, not from me, but from the Lord, I want to dare you to get on your feet and to begin to open your mouth. And before you ask God for what you need out of him tomorrow, just thank God for what he's already done today. And let your soul cry hallelujah unto the one who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what you can ask or even imagine. Just give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. Yeah. Your need right now. I want to remind you, the word says that he who gave us his own son, how shall he now not freely with him give us all things? Listen, if you can't lay hands on that money, you may not be able to lay hands on that blessing or that breakthrough just yet. It may be displaced by time from you, but one thing you can rejoice, if you've got Jesus in your life, you got the promise and expectation that greater is coming and has already arrived in your life. The moment you begin to celebrate Jesus in your life, you are already there. Your holy name in this place. While we're standing in this place, we want to extend an invitation to discipleship. Listen, this invitation is also for you who are struggling